Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar of Faith-Based Purpose. I am your moderator. Your host is Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams. The call-in number for the show is 718-305-6798. Again, that's 718-305-6798. We would love to have you join our discussions. Bring your scripture, bring a friend, and be a part of the show. We thank you for your support. Now let's get back to our discussion. This is Faith-Based Purpose with your moderator, Ms. Sugar. Evangelist Williams will not be joining us today, but believe me, she is still doing God's work at this time. We will have our minister, Bobby, in her place, and we will also have Reverend Roosevelt Williams, who is also one of the co-hosts on the show.
Amen.
And we are still going to do what we're here to do. So good afternoon, Minister Bobby and Reverend Roosevelt. How are you?
Good evening. How you doing?
Good evening. Truly glad.
Okay. What, Reverend Roosevelt?
Yes.
Okay. It's all
you
on
me?
You. Yes.
All right. Okay. Amen. All right. Heavenly Father, we come this evening to say thank you for another day's journey. Thank you for another blessing, another opportunity to be able to come together, to be able to share that which you have put in our heart, placed in our mind. And Father, we pray that something be said or done that can help someone along the way. And asking right now, Lord, that you just touch, you heal, you deliver, that someone come calling on the name of Jesus, that they may be saved, that someone may walk stronger. And Father, we pray that you touch everyone right now upon this earth. And Father, we're going to say thank you. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who hung, died, and bled for sins. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that keeps us and bless this show. And bless Sister Sugar. And Father, bless even our host, our co-host. Bless everyone that is involved, all the listeners, and all those who are believers. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 And we thank you for that, Reverend Williams.
Amen.
All right. Now, we're going to get into our discussion for today. And we have several topics that we will be discussing, but our main topic is God's time is not your time, or is it?
Amen.
That's the topic. You know, a lot of times we want things done when we want them done, and you know we do know that prayers are answered.
Amen.
But we want to dig a little bit into, should we expect it to happen right then? Is it if it doesn't happen right then is did I say then? Did I sound like a Creole? I'm sorry.
You are.
Okay, leave it alone. Okay, okay. if it doesn't happen, you know, when we pray, is it because, you know, it's not going to happen? Do we expect God to do it right then, or should we expect God to do it right then? You know, is His time our time?
Amen.
So, Minister Bobby?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello? Okay. Minister Bobby, we're gonna let you start us off today, if you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, we're talking about God's time, not our time.
Is God's time, okay. Okay, it says God's time is not your time, or is it?
Well, that's based on if you're saved. Because people who are saved, they deal with patience. According to Galatians 5:22, if we could go there.
Amen.
Okay. Could you, you can read it to us, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Galatians 5:22. 5:22.
Okay, Galatians 5:22.
And 23.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong one. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Genesis 18:10. I'm sorry. Genesis 18:10. I was looking at another scripture.
Genesis 18:10.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Amen.
And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, we know that Sarah was not patient with God's timing. She got impatient. So when we look over at Genesis 16:1, look back at 16:1, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Now, God had already promised in Genesis 18 that he would give Abraham and Sarah a son. But the time was not right for Sarah.
Yeah.
She was impatient with God. So she saw fit to do it her way rather than waiting on God. See, because timing with me has everything to do with patience. And God had dealt with us fruitfully in his spirit by patience with people, patience with things, patience with prayer. Because I was taught in Romans 12:2, patience in tribulation. And we have to have the patience of Christ to endure where he endured the cross. And then it says, run with endurance, the race that is set before us in Hebrews 12:1. So timing has everything to do with patience. Without patience, it's impossible to please God, because we are moving on our own and not in God's spirit. And that's what happened with Sarah. When she went ahead of God to send in her handmaid, which is why we have a lot of the wars and things going on in the world now with Ishmael and Ishwan. So that was my point of view about timing.
Okay, and I appreciate that. Now, Ecclesiastes 3:1-5 says that there's a time. It tells us it's a time for everything. And it says that there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Now, with all of that, that to me that says that God has already done everything in the time that is going to be done. You know, because I thank you for sharing what you said that you learn a certain way. Minister Bobby, and I've always learned that with prayer, that you pray, and that takes us back to some of our topics on faith. So you pray, and if you believe that what you pray, if you believe God's word, that he will answer prayers, and that he is going to, you know, he does do what he says, he keeps his word, then you know it's going to be in his time, but it is gonna come about. So we just pray and we don't worry about it anymore. We just leave it alone, you know. And
yes.
and know that it's in God's time. Now, sometimes what we pray for, it may seem like it didn't happen. You know, we talked about that before, but that doesn't mean that our time is not God's time. In a sense, the prayer was answered, but it just wasn't the answer that we hope for, and that's because it's not up to us. It's God. It's God. It's what he has destined. So, me, I believe that it's God, you know, it's about God's timing.
Amen. And, you know, also I had Psalms 31:15 where David said, my time are in thy hand, O Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then James 4:13-17 says, what is your life?
Mm-hmm.
It's even a vapor that appears for a little time.
Okay.
And we should say, if the Lord's will, this or that.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry. Okay, I don't mean to cut you off, but we're going to give Reverend Williams a chance to give us some scriptures also, and give us a couple of words, and then we'll just make our way back around.
Okay. What you just read, which is, first off, when you look at, is God time your time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is how you look at it, is that when God sees fit, it is your time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your time is not God's time.
Mm-hmm.
And because first off, to be God's time, you have to be in God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's the first thing. And in order to be in God's will, you have to allow God to work, because you just read it. To everything, there is a time.
Mm-hmm.
To everything, there is a season.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand that, as Sister Bobby said, is that, number one, you got to have the patience to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to Ecclesiastes 9 and 11.
Okay.
Amen.
That's one of the scriptures I had pulled up earlier, 9 and 11. And it says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men or understanding, nor yet favor to men or skill. But time and chance happen to them all. In other words, God letting us know, ain't no look, ain't no just happen. It's that time and chance come to everyone. And we have to remember that there is a time for your chance. Okay,
and not only that,
I went to Hebrews 9:27 in the book of Hebrews. I went to 9:27. I was really doing some homework. I was working out, and it says, as it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. In other words, even though it says there's appointed time to die, God is still letting you know there's appointed time for everything. I was watching a movie about Tyler Perry, a woman with an old voice. She starts singing a song. We all have an appointed time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the thing is don't worry about when your season is going to come. Don't worry about when your time is going to come. If you ask God, we're going to get into it later about faith.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask God, your time going to come. We just have to have the patience to wait for it. But then there some of us want to do as Sister Bobby or Minister Bobby read about Pharaoh. We want to try to hurry up. But God has already planned it out. She didn't listen. She going to try to make it happen. And when you try to make it happen, then things start happening that you don't want.
But all right.
Her and Abraham had to deal because they didn't have the patience, so they had to deal with another child coming into play. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
All righty.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. And I did have one in Luke, but I
can
tell you about that one in the book of Luke, which is 1:20, was that Zechariah, God came to him, an angel came and told him that he was going to have a son. He didn't believe. Okay? And sometimes we have to remember that when our time comes, when God lets you know, and when your time is prophesied, know it's going to come and believe in it. Sometimes we don't get to our time because why? We don't believe.
Amen.
But then God had to shut Zechariah's mouth to tell him, you're going to speak at the appointed time. So God does have an appointed time, but we try to rush it, okay? And I'm not going to carry on anymore, but I do want to say that God's time is an appointed time, and it's not what we want when we want it. It's when God see the time is there. Okay. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, in let me see. I want to make sure this is the right one. It's Psalm 75, 1, and I'm going to say through 5. I'm going to say it's 1 through 5. I guess I'm going to read it from the New International Version. Okay. And it says, well, we praise you, God. We praise you, for your name is near. People tell of your wonderful deeds. And in Psalm 75 and 2, it says, you say, I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge with iniquity. When the earth and all its people quake, it is I who holds the pillars firm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Minister Bobby, what do you think about that one?
Psalm 75 and what now?
75 and 1 through 5 is what I have, but we don't really have to read the whole thing. I can read it all, but the one that sticks out to me is the second verse, which says, you say, I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge with iniquity, with equity. I'm sorry, not with iniquity, with equity.
In the book of Psalms?
Yes.
75?
Yes.
When I receive the congregation.
What version are you reading from?
King James. I'm looking at, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. That's what I'm looking at.
Okay. You in the
Minister
King James
Bobby.
Version?
Yeah. What do you got, Minister Bob?
Yes, I'm in King James.
And what scripture you have?
She has 75.
I read it from the New Version. Now, you read it from the King James Version, and it says, unto thee, O Lord, the first verse says, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee we give thanks, for thy name is
right.
Near, thy wondrous works declare. And verse 2 is the one that I said was the one that sticks out, when it says, when I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly.
Oh, well. Okay.
Okay, the earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillows of it.
Okay. I got that.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
What I understood from verse 2, when he said he would judge the upright, glory to God, I, in my spirit, I feel we shouldn't be passing judgment on people when and how they should be saved, and how they should act. And I often refer back to the man that was in the cage who had the demons, who was legend.
Mm-hmm.
There were many of them. And the way I like to tell the story is that when Jesus came on the scene, he was clothed in a piece suit. Even though he had been one that was stoning himself and running around naked and stuff, but when Jesus came on the scene, he changed him. So I look at myself and how I used to be and how people can pass judgment on people about the way they look, they're doing what they're
doing. One moment, Minister Bobby. The pages moving away from the phone.
All right.
Okay, I didn't call any names. I'm just saying. Move them away from the phone.
Hello.
All right. Go on,
right.
Bobby.
Amen.
Amen.
But Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice for us all. I didn't die for nobody, so I can't judge anybody. He said he's judged uprightly. And see, what we always see ain't what it is. And sometimes what ain't always what we hear.
That's
because everybody has a different perception on how they're understanding what's being said. So Jesus said he would judge. He said, when I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. In other words, he's going to judge our heart. And faith without works is dead. So he's going to judge our heart and how we did this, that, and the other. And I feel like he's going to judge even my work and how I gave. Was I giving purpose to my motive? And I like to put in there my priorities as well with my heart that he's
okay.
going to judge. So that's what I got out of that.
Okay,
but,
all right.
Can,
all right.
Only Christ can judge. Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Now,
Reverend Roosevelt, do you have anything else to say about that one, or should we move on to the next one?
Okay. We still talking about the time, right?
God's time, yes.
Okay. I like to share the book of Acts 1 and 7 that everybody can, that those out there can get a good, clear understanding about God's time.
Okay,
and,
now we're in Acts. Repeat it so everybody can hear it. Acts 1.
Chapter 1.
Uh-huh.
And let's look at verse 7.
Okay. Now we're going to look at only verse 7?
Yes. Well, in order
yes.
to
okay.
understand, at verse 5, Jesus said, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not
right.
many days hence."
Mm-hmm.
And then 6 says, "When they therefore would come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?"
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus had to go in verse 7 and said, "It is not for you to know the time or the
mm-hmm.
season which the Father had put in his power."
Okay.
Okay. And see, that's one thing we have to understand, that we should be under the God's power, which is still the patience.
Mm-hmm.
Still is sitting and waiting. For the Bible says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew your
mm-hmm.
strength."
Amen.
Okay? Because Peter and them never had that power, because at Jesus' crucifixion, they denied it. They all, mm-hmm. Peter denied him before everybody. Peter, even mm-hmm. they all went back fishing and everything. And it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me," both
mm-hmm.
In other words, our time that God has given us, it can
mm-hmm.
be magnificent for the kingdom of God if we
mm-hmm.
just have the time to just wait. There are many things I would like. There are many things I want, many things I desire. But I'm learning now to just sit and wait.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Minister Barber said another one, "Faith without works is dead." That don't mean you just sit and twiddle your thumbs now. That means you keep working for the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the same time, you're showing yourself approved for the works.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Because we're getting ready to get into that pretty soon, and our next part of talk. Amen.
All right. Amen.
Amen. Sister Sugar, I have
on our next one. Oh, I'm sorry, Minister Bible. Go ahead.
Ephesians 5,
mm-hmm.
verse 15. Ephesians 5, verses 15 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is."
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
All right, we're gonna go to the next one. And, you know, we may or may not do them in order. I know you all know that by now. But we're gonna go with faith right now. How can you tell if your faith? Well, how do you know if your faith is unshakable? And that part of the discussion is probably going to be a personal thing. That's why I said that this is going to be discussed partly with scripture and partly with testimony, because we want to know, how do you know when your faith is unshakable? And then also with that same part, we want to know, how do you strengthen your faith? What do you do to strengthen your faith? And that we would ask that we go according to the scripture. And before we begin, I think this is Pastor Ruth Williams on the line.
This is Pastor Cook.
Oh, Minister Cook, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
How are you?
I am blessed.
Thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Okay, again, we are going to go into, how do you know when your faith is unshakable? And that's a personal thing to
okay.
a point.
Sister
and,
Shug, before you go to that, can I just make a comment on something that was already said?
Sure.
Okay, remember when Daniel prayed and the angel, the warring angel, had to come and give Daniel the heads up that I heard your prayer when it first come out your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to fight with Satan in order to, you know, he had to come out with the warring angel in order to get what Daniel had prayed for to come to him.
Okay.
But he had
okay.
to be in a fight, but he had to send a messenger to let him know, I heard your prayer when you first said it, but I'm in a fight with Satan, so I'm letting you know. Your prayer was answered from when I first heard you pray. But when the blessing was on its way, the devil got busy and tried to head it off. So he was in a battle with Satan trying to get him to, you know, not be able to block what was coming to Daniel, what Daniel
okay.
had prayed for.
Amen.
All right. We do thank you for that. Now, just for those that are you know, listening or whatever, can you give us Minister Cook? Is Minister
uh-huh.
Cook, is that correct?
Yes.
Minister Cook, could you give us a scripture or something to go along with that for those
okay,
that want
to
go back
to
and study?
I was trying to find it in Daniel. I know it's in the book of Daniel.
I'm
changing pages trying to find it.
That's
so
we can come back to it, no
yes,
problem.
I was
going to
say,
no
when
problem.
I find it, I will just let you know that's the book that it's in
okay.
and what chapter.
Okay. We'll come back to it.
Okay.
That's no problem. Okay, now we're going to just jump into our next discussion. And let's see, Reverend Williams, we're going to let you begin this one.
Okay. If everybody go to, first off, it's a sure faith walk. How do you know that you have that sure faith? Well, first thing I'm going to say, through the Holy Ghost, you're supposed to know that. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, you're supposed to know that. Because if you believe you're saved, you believe that's faith. And so the first thing you have to do, it says, sure faith, walk absolutely. I put, to have sure faith, you have to walk believing. And I went to the book of 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Okay? If anybody want to follow me, we're in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Okay? First off, you need to know that you got victory. And then it says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be ye steadfast, strong, standing hard, unmovable. You don't let nothing deteriorate you. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you're not for sure, you have faith. Because to have faith, you got to believe in something. And Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the thing is, we want to say, I hadn't seen it, I hadn't touched it. But somewhere you ought to experience the evidence of it. And in that, it's just like you put in a pot of greens. And if you come back and everybody ate up the greens, and you didn't get none. You didn't get the taste. You didn't pull none out of the pot. But when you look down and see the juice, you see the evidence. If you see them little green leaves, it's the evidence. So God left some, to me, God left some evidence in my life. And that, and the testimony is, a couple of weeks ago, the evidence was when I was having a major heart attack, I couldn't do nothing but lay out on the floor and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And God could allow me to just, my life to just roll on that day. But it was nobody but the grace of him. Because I had faith to keep calling on him. Not worrying about it for my life, if I'm going to live with this, that. No, 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 no. I needed Jesus. And I wanted Jesus to be with me. So the thing is that when I came up off of that bed, and the only thing I kept hearing told you dying. Well, I know right today I wouldn't be talking if it wasn't for the Lord. And that's my
Amen.
Evidence.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Amen.
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 Now, you know, Reverend Williams, with me, I guess I and I do understand everything you're saying, and I agree with you. But on a personal side for me, I know that my faith is unshakable because I got to a point in my life that when things did not turn out the way that I thought they were supposed to turn out,
mm-hmm.
I didn't get mad. You know, it didn't bother me. When I got to the point where whatever it was that I was praying for or hoping for or wishing for or whatever, however you want to put it, didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out. Or when a bill was coming due and I didn't have the money, and I, you know, because it was a time in my life I would get so stressed out, I would just, oh, I don't know what to do. You're stressed. And you can pray about it, and if it's coming, and that goes back to God's time. It's been a many days, and if Evangelist Williams, she could tell you that I can honestly testify to this, because there were times when I had to call on Evangelist Williams, and I'm not ashamed to say it. It was times that I was going through stuff. I had been had gotten sick at work, and I was off on disability, and I knew my checks was coming. I knew my disability checks was coming for short-term disability and all that stuff, working with the state, and I knew they was coming, but I couldn't convince the people where I was living, where I was paying bills, that they were coming. They didn't care. They just wanted their money. And I just kept telling them, but they coming. Well, we need, and it got to the point where, you know what happened? Those people, they just praying about it, and just knowing, just standing on that faith that, you know, they coming, and they would take me to court for eviction, and I tell them I'm not going nowhere. The money is coming. You know, it's coming. Look, I owed those people, honest to God, I owed those people $1,500 in back rent. And they would take me to court, and we'd get before the judge, and the judge said, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to let them stay there. We're going to work with him. He said, well, what you keep bringing her in here for? You know, I told him. And when the checks finally came in, it was enough for me to pay what I needed to pay. And then it was somebody else that needed something, and I blessed them too because I knew what they were going through. And then, the people told me, they say, well, you paid it all for $55. And I looked at them and I said, well, God got it. And I turned around and walked on out. You just know what you know, and you go on about your business. And if it don't come, then if that's not the place for me to be. If I have to move, then God is moving me. That's not the place I'm supposed to be. So I move on, and I just don't worry about it. You know,
that's why our faith has to be. It has to be unshakable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I hate to say the Hebrew boy, but, you know, they say Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. That's their Baal name. But when they were in that fire furnace, they say whether we go, whether we be consumed or whether we come out. And in our days and time, you know, I had to learn. I'm in the same boat you're in, Sister Sugar. And I have to say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. And I was reading last night where it says, don't give no thought. Matthew chapter 5, give no thought. Well, it was when Jesus was on the mountain, verse in chapter 6 or 7, one of them. Don't give no thought about your life.
That's right. That's right.
Don't
That's
give,
right.
If
and,
God,
you, and you know, and maybe one of the ministers, or you, Reverend Williams, and I wish Minister Jordan had called in, because I do have a question, and I do need guidance from as many people that I can. I need some, you know, some input or some guidance. I guidance, because I have this thing. The pastor will pray for you. You know, you come, and if you have something, you know, you come to the altar and they pray for you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, you know, because there's a condition that I'm dealing with, and I go and be prayed for. And then next Sunday they'll call and ask me pray for. And I have a sister, not biological sister, but a sister that will tell me, "Are you going?" And I tell her, "No, I'm not going." And she was like, "Well, you know, is he or not?" And I'm like, "I'm not going, because to me, my thing is faith. My life is faith. And if he prayed for me last year, and I believe that it's gonna happen, I don't have to keep going back up there to him for him to pray for me.
Amen.
He already prayed for me, and I believe it. So I'm just going to wait on it to manifest itself." And that's the way I believe. And if that's wrong, I need somebody to tell me.
Remember when Jesus was healing the people, he would always say, or when the apostle would say, "According to your faith, be it unto you."
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And a lot of times it's like we second guessing what God is trying to show us.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to build our faith up that I know God can do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna start thanking Him in advance that it's already
and
done.
That's it. That's it. That's
Go ahead.
It. Because if prayer works, and I believe prayer works,
it's not
this week's prayer that's gonna work. It's prayer that works. So if he prayed last week for me, then he prayed for me. So if I go back up there, I feel like if I go back up there, I'm saying that prayer didn't work. You know, you need to do this again. God
like
didn't hear you.
They...
You need to do this again.
Yeah,
and
like
I don't believe that. I just don't believe that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't believe it that way. And maybe that's wrong, but that's the way I believe.
No, that's the way you're supposed to look at it, because how many people you find at church and that goes up for the same old keep friends and everybody this and that?
A whole bunch
okay.
of them.
And the thing is, if you, the Bible, well, we're supposed to take it to the Lord and leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you came up there for and they prayed over it, if you believe in, people don't think is that if the man prayed over you and he believed it, that too.
Mm-hmm.
But you have, it's like the word of God. If you believe in the word of God, it's going to move you.
Okay.
If you believe in the prayer that was prayed and you have faith in what was prayed and you know God going to work it out, why keep giving in the same old thing?
Amen.
And you know, it's back to that's found what I was talking about is in Daniel chapter 10.
Okay.
The whole thing. When Daniel first prayed, God already heard his prayer.
Uh-huh.
He sent the answer. Just because it hadn't manifested didn't mean God didn't hear it and God wasn't sending the results of it.
F-G.
But sometimes we have to give time. And it's according, like
Lord.
I said, according to your faith.
Okay. Preach all right.
I might have a condition in my body, Sister Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
If I got prayer and I believe from day one, when I got prayer, the minute that they prayed for me, I believed that I was healed, even though it hadn't manifested itself. But guess what I'm going to start doing from the minute I leave
start
it off?
Thanking him.
I'm going to start thanking him and walking like it's already done.
That's right.
And
Amen.
Even when I have pain in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I have pain in my body from time to time. But you know what? I go on like I don't even have no pain.
Amen.
And I don't care if it is. Pain might be there, but you know what? I praise God in spite of what my body says.
Mm-hmm.
It has manifested itself right then and there, but I know God to be a healer.
And you know what? You know what? It sounds real crazy, but you know, you sit there and you thank Him, and you thank Him that you're even able to feel it.
Yes, Lord.
You know,
and
because
then, you know, you allow me to be able to feel the pain, and maybe I'm not thanking Him enough. Maybe that's why the pain's still there. But sometimes we have to get an undignified place.
But
I know a young lady that was coming to prayer with us. Every Tuesday from 12 to 2, she was at prayer. And at the beginning, she acted like, you know, we just there showing up. It wasn't nothing going on. When that young lady got an undignified praise down in her spirit and just walked the aisles like a crazy woman, she had a 25-year sentence over her head. She only served 5 months. But see, if she hadn't got in God's face and really gave Him what He asked for,
she released
that
faith.
Been serving that time.
Mm-hmm.
I know God did it.
And
I agree with you there, Minister, because I was blood just started dripping out my nose. And just scared me so big globs of it. And it was all night. And I was up all night. And I finally went in there and prayed. And I said, well, Lord, it's like this. Whatever happened is going to happen.
Yes.
But through all of this here, I'm going to still give you praise. And the thing is, the only thing I did was went in there and wiped my nose, blowed it, and I just went to bed and went to sleep. Woke up the next morning, I was ready to go to church. But, well, y'all pray for me. My wife got to hollering about why you want to go and make a spectacle. But I was so mad because I couldn't go to church. But I said, Lord, you know what was in my heart. But the one thing I gave Him joy is what the minister is saying, is that no matter what aches and pains come, you still rejoice in it. Because sooner or later, my nose stopped bleeding.
And if it ever come back, Minister Williams, Ezekiel 16:6, you need to write that scripture down. And recite it.
All right.
And see, don't that blood just dry up.
Amen.
And I know for a fact God to be a healer. I had a condition in my body where I had surgery. That's where I'm talking about pain. I was bleeding. Even when the doctor went back in there to find out where the blood was coming from, he come in my room after that, took me back to surgery, sit on the end of my bed and looked at me, and he was puzzled like, I don't know where it came from. We did everything we could possibly do. We ain't found nothing as to where the blood come from. I bombarded heaven and called the prayer warriors in.
No,
regardless of what the doctor said, God had a solution to the problem. Me going down on the elevator back to surgery, I told God, you ain't brought me up here to kill me.
Amen.
I left this place and I come back up here to have surgery. You didn't bring me all the way back up here to kill me. If I had to die, I would have died when I was there. So when I come to the recovery room and then come back to my room, the doctor was confused. But like I told him, I know where the solution was. God was the solution.
Amen.
And you tell my tell God about it. I told Him about it. And He fixed that situation.
And that's why I love that scripture that says, first off, in the book of Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord.
You got to.
That's first off, let us know, trust in the Lord.
He didn't say man either, did he?
Amen.
He didn't say no flesh. He said in flesh lies no good thing. So in other words, don't put your confidence, even though that doctor knew what he was doing. But I had the big doctor off in the room. He knew exactly what was going on. Even though the little doctor had went to school and got his qualifications, the big doctor was in there overseeing everything that was going on, just like he looks at us today.
Amen.
And we have to be reminded according to your faith. You know, sometimes Satan will come and try to tamper with us and have things around us to try to distract us. But we can't lose our faith in the thing that God has promised us. I don't care how we go, what we up against. If God told you it's going to happen, you better believe it's going to happen.
Right. Come on.
All right.
And sometimes we have naysayers that say, you know, girl, I don't know why you're doing that. I'm not doing it to please you.
That's right.
I'm doing it that God gets the glory out of it.
Amen.
So put my confidence in man. Man can't do nothing. Except God allows it.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. All right. Now, on that subject, does anyone else have a scripture that they want to share or a personal thought that they want to share? I think Minister Bobby, I think we didn't hear from you yet.
I am. Praise God. You know, to me, this is an action word. And I was listening at the testimony, and Minister Cook knows too that I was diagnosed with liver cancer. Praise God. And they had only given me a few months left. Glory to God. And it's been 8 years now. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm still here, and I'm still doing His will and His word. So I am a faith walker. I went to the doctor this morning. That's why I'm a little faster than normal. They sedated me and stuff. And then they give me this old ugly bad report. And I said, well, praise God. I said, you know what? Just like you fixed everything else, I know you're going to fix that too. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And when you have faith, it's an action word. See, I don't just believe that God can do it. I believe He will do it. And that's what I stand on in the Word of God. Not just that He can, because there's nothing too hard for Him, but just believing that He will do it for me. And I got 2 Timothy here. Praise God. 2 Timothy 1 and 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him this day. And that's my praise report, knowing and believing that God, thank you, Jesus, in whom I believe, is able to do anything that I ask Him. And when I look at, thank you, Jesus, faith,
yes, Lord.
As you were saying earlier, it's a personal relationship.
And it
falls into two categories. Either we're going to rely on Christ and we're going to commit ourselves to His commandments. And it comes in twofold. When we walk in by faith, we're going to rely on Him and whatever comes our way. And we're going to commit to His commandments by doing what His word says. And I just thank God for His word. And that's what I wanted to share on that. I did have one more here. James, praise God. James 2 and 19. And it says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believed and trembled. See, it ain't but one God. And so many people get tangled up believing and doubting God for what His words say. But when we stand by faith, even so faith, if it has not worked, it is dead. But when you look back up at the 14th verse, it says, what does it profit, my brother, though a man say he has faith and have not worked? Can faith save him? Faith without works is dead. We got to believe, and we got to act on what we believe. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Mr. Moderator, can I piggyback on Minister Bobby?
Sure.
Okay. And over in first off, where she was at in James 2 and 19.
Yes, sir.
Now, when you look at James 1 and 6, now, what she said, faith without works is dead. And it's an action thing. When you look at James 1 and 6, it says, but let him ask in faith. Okay? And even the other minister that was on was talking about, why are you going to go pray for something
or no, that was you, sister Sugar. Go pray and some, and don't believe that your prayer gonna be answered. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that mm-hmm. give it to all men liberally. Don't ask for God and have a wavering faith. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, with the wind and talk. You talking about you have faith? You just a person just talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go into the book of Hebrews, okay, the book of Hebrews says 11 and 6, but without faith, it is impossible what to please him.
Mm-hmm.
He that cometh mm-hmm. to God must believe. If you going to go to God, don't why go to him if he ain't going to believe? Why ask him something?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, go to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
All right. All right.
And so I believe that we must have that what Minister Bobby was saying and the other minister. You have to be able to know and stand and lean on that which you know. You have to know that you know that you know. There's nothing else you can do.
All right, all right. All right, and we thank you for that, and I hope you know someone got something from that idea.
Sister Sugar.
Yes.
Philippians 4 and 6.
Oh, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Hold on.
Says, be careful for nothing,
mm-hmm.
but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our solution to the whole thing right there.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Be careful for nothing. So in everything you watching.
Okay.
I'm led to just share. You know, people who don't have faith, it's because they're not living a saved life. And when you're not living a saved life, it's hard to have faith. And when you look
Amen.
At Hebrews 9 and look at verses 14, and it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offer himself without spot to God. It says, purge your conscience from dead work to serve the living God. Some people haven't purged themselves. So when they ask for something of God, they're already believing they're not going to receive it because they know they're not living according to God's commandment. They're not living a righteous life. So it's hard for a person to believe if they ain't living right. And I just want to share that because you got to live right in order to believe that God's going to do anything for you.
Amen.
And I just want to share that part because he's saying purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God.
Amen. And Sister Sugar, I want to share something with those who are out there.
After this, we're going to move on because we have like three other topics that we need to cover. So but go on and share.
Okay. Real quick, I just want to say to everybody, just because you put if Lord, but Lord, the Hebrew boy said it, if he don't show up, even Job had to say, if though he may sleep, it's not that you doubt. You have to know that you are asking for God's will. So don't let nobody tell you that you are doubting when you say, if Lord, it be your will. If Lord, if you don't show up. You letting God know I'm in your will. And you just to call the devil is a lie when somebody say, well, you having doubt. No, it's always up to God. But you have faith that he's going to deliver no matter what the situation is and no matter how he's going to do it. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to move on to another one. We have several more to cover. Before our time runs out. The next one is going to be, does humility, compassion, self-control, and love. Okay, that's humility, compassion, self-control, and love. Do they have more to do with your faith walk, or do they have more to do with God's promise for our life?
Humility, compassion, love. Okay.
Now, I found something on self-control, and it's, I guess it has to do with perseverance. It's 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. And it said, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
To
me, and this is just to me, and I, you know, again, that says to me that our faith walk and God's promise go hand in hand.
Amen.
So we have to be self-controlled in order to receive the promise. And in order to know that we have to be self-controlled, in order to know that God's promise is true, we still have to walk that faith walk. So to me, it all goes hand in hand. So I personally would think that we have to be humble. We have to be humble. We know that, and we have to love one another. There's no if, and buts about that. We must do that.
Amen.
And self-control, to me, that's kind of self-explanatory, because you can't just run around doing whatever, and say you're walking in faith. You can do that. I take that back. You can go around and doing whatever, but you can't say that you're living for the promises of God. I'll put it that way. Yeah, because the promises come with your walk, or with your walk with God, or your relationship with God, if that's where the promises come in. Because we have to show our self-approval, we have to love God and understand God and live according to God's word, then we must have some kind of self-control.
Yes.
Amen.
All those humility, compassion, love, all that comes under having a, I would say, not just self-control, but a spirit-filled control, that you allow the Holy Spirit to control you, and not trying to, because sometimes self-control, I would like to be, but it's that you're learning to allow yourself to be controlled by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I look at is that all those coincide with faith walk also.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you have humility, if you have compassion, you got love, then you can show all that to somebody that does not even know nothing about faith. And you can help somebody that's going through something to show them how they have that faith. By your self-control. For example, it's like people would ask me at work when I come through there acting a fool. They'll say, how you come you always last? I say, well, to be mad ain't going to help nothing, because ain't nobody going to care. So
okay.
It's the self-control that you wake up with and how you think also. But if you get humility, compassion, and love, all that rolled up into one is self-control, and that self-control is nothing but you have faith in God,
mm-hmm,
and walk
mm-hmm.
into what he has designed it you for.
Okay. All right. Someone else?
In James chapter 4.
Galatians.
Okay, who is this?
Minister Cook.
Minister Cook, okay.
James chapter 4. It was talking in the 10th verse, says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Also, in the verses before that, it was talking about how you resist, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. That's in the sixth verse. So, in other words, what it's telling us, you can do all you can while you can. But if you're out of order and you don't have no control over the stuff that you say, the things that you do, that's not self-control. That's why we have to submit our life to the Lord, that he will teach us what we need to say, when we need to say it. He'll even teach you how to act and how not to act.
Amen.
I was looking at in the book of Job, where Job was an upright man who gave sacrifices for his children, even if they didn't commit a sin, but just in case they did, he still put a sacrifice up just for them.
Amen.
Amen.
And that was a man that loved God. And he eschewed evil. In other words, he was a righteous and upright person. That just in case I did something, here's a sacrifice. Just in case my kids did something, here's a sacrifice.
Say just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case.
That's being prayed of, I tell you. Just in case.
And we
and
have to
love
pray.
And compassion.
Yes, he said pray without ceasing, didn't he?
Amen.
He told us to pray without ceasing.
Yes, he did.
And that don't mean we have to get out on the block and holler and scream and just
oh,
show out
Lord.
Like, you know, everybody got to see you. You can pray under your breath.
Amen.
Minister Cook.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm putting you in timeout.
Okay, I'm in timeout. I heard you until you called my name.
You telling the truth. You just telling the truth. That's all it is.
Look who my fine neck lady is. I have to act like her.
That's what we here for the truth.
Yes, Lord.
All right. Minister Bobby?
Yes, ma'am.
Come on, so I can put you over in the corner in time out with her, because I know.
Look, we're going to be over there shouting in the corner, okay? Two of us in time out.
All right.
I have Galatians 3:18-24. For it is the inheritance. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of a promise. But God gives it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then Sarah the law, it was added because of transgression, till the seed shall come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ may be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under schoolmaster, but ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So that told me about the law and the promise of God. But when we turn the book and we look over at Galatians 5:22, it talks about walking in the Spirit of God. And it goes on to say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, but love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness.
There you go.
Amen. That is no law. That Christ hath crucified the flesh with the affliction and lust. If we feel that the Spirit, let us walk also in the Spirit. So let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. So when you was asking about humility and compassion, self-control, and love, But it has to do with our faith walk. It has to do with walking in the Spirit.
Okay.
Walking in the Spirit of God, which is activated by our faith in Christ.
Okay.
And
when
we look at the promise of God, the promise stands fast for those who believe in the promise of God, which is His Word, and they act according to what they believe. So
all right.
I just felt like all that was one, walking in the Spirit as well as the promise of God.
All right. All right.
Amen. It is.
Amen.
Yeah. And to help you in that part, in my King James version, it gives a number there of the NIV, meaning which the faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the fruit of those of the Spirit in you, that's called faithfulness. The humility, compassion, and love, and all that's faithfulness. That's faithfulness to God towards your fellow man. It's what you do to God towards your fellow man. And she answered the question for you there, Sister Shu. Okay. She answered it all rolled up in one. Amen.
All right.
I like it. Amen.
So we're not going to send her to timeout.
No, she don't need to go timeout.
She don't need to go timeout. All right. All right. Well, we're gonna go ahead and bring Minister Cook out and see how she's gonna act this time.
I'm enjoying Minister Cook and Minister Bobby.
I know, right?
They talking some good stuff tonight. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. They like cooking up a pot of gumbo. Don't leave the rice out.
All right.
The Lord is good.
I guess I better be good. She better put me in timeout again.
Don't leave you out for a while. We're gonna leave you out
for a while.
All right. So you trying to get everybody all stirred up, and fired up over here?
Maybe I just a little.
All right. Now we're thinking to go a little bit deeper here.
Okay.
And then we're gonna. We're gonna save that one for last.
Okay.
What we're gonna discuss now is if we don't show favor or love to our brethren, can we really expect God to show favor to us?
Woo!
Oh, help me, Lord. Oh yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna be last.
Yes, ma'am. You sure are. We gonna let Minister Bobby start this one off. You know, really, I don't even know who to let start this one off, to tell you the truth. Because we know it's going to be fire either way. Yes, yes. So Minister Bobby, you go ahead and start us off.
Well, that was one I wasn't really prepared for, but it's in my heart.
All right.
In Matthew 6, when we go to verse 12, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And I don't believe, if I don't forgive, that God will forgive me. It reminds me of that story about the thief. What do you say?
Took the word out of my mouth. Help me, Jesus. Took the chapter straight. But it's good to be touching in
the game. I remember the one that the man asked the other man to forgive him. I can't put it together all like a. Like the Bible said, but he asked me.
Just let it flow from your heart. That's all you got to do.
And the man owed him, but he wouldn't forgive the man that owed him. And so he was punished for that. But I also like that scripture when he said, if you see your brother at fault, restore such a one, lest ye yourself fall into greater temptation.
Mm-hmm,
so to me, that's also saying that I have to forgive. And I want to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind asking to be be forgiven even when I'm not at fault, because we can restore one another just by what you was asking earlier about love,
mm-hmm.
and humility and compassion for others. Because if we see ourselves, and I'm sorry I only have but that one scripture, but when we see ourselves above someone else, I'm a firm believer that Cain and Abel, if he had a talk to his brother and showed love towards his brother and tried to compromise with his brother wouldn't have been so jealous and envious of him. He killed him. I just feel like it's always a way out, and I feel like it's always two people got something to do with it.
Mm.
Now, I need to forgive them, but it doesn't matter if they really forgive me. I'd like for them to. But God told me he hold me 90% of the issue, and their problem is only the 10%. 90% of it was the way I was dealing with it, in handling forgiveness. But I'm a firm believer. I'm going to forgive because I'm going to love. And I love loving people. I love being truthful to myself and to others. So that's mine, Zip. And forgive us our debts as we forgive others. How can he forgive you if you ain't forgiving no one else? So that's my share on that.
Okay. Well, we thank you for that. Oh my goodness! I don't even know who to go to. Somebody just jump in. You know.
Well, she jumped straight in the verse. I was just getting ready to dive straight into.
Okay.
That is one, and we always have to remember on this side of heaven. A man was preaching about it on TV Sunday, and the thing is that we always want to say, "Lord, forgive me."
Mm-hmm.
But how many of us can say, see, first off, Jesus didn't wait for nobody to come and say, forgive them, or ask for Jesus' forgiveness. He said, Lord, forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
So they know
mm-hmm.
not what they do. Because if we wait for folks to come and ask for, you know, we want folks to come and, can you forgive me? But can you forgive them before they even ask you?
Amen.
Even admit what they're doing to you. Can you say, Lord, forgive them? Because they really don't know what they're doing.
Amen.
Yes, we're accountable for what we do, but because of the devil that's in them, they can't even
mm-hmm.
recognize it.
Okay.
And some folks just think they're doing something and thinking they're trying to hurt you and thinking they're hurting you, but they're doing it to God.
Okay.
That's why it says, I love Minister Bobby for reading that. I just had to laugh because I'm like, okay, she must read my mind, and I'm reading her mind, because that's where I was going right there. It's a show that you can't, that's why the Bible tells us to do unto others as you would want them to do unto you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, just because you treat somebody good don't mean they're going to treat you good. But you do to them, you want them to treat you good, so you treat them good. And so that's what God wants us to do in our lives. Because if you can't forgive, how he going to forgive?
Amen.
All right. Minister Cook.
Yes, ma'am.
It's your time, ma'am.
Out of time
out.
I'm
going to
get me out of time out. Luke 17, verses 1 through 4.
Luke 17.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offense will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hang about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed mm-hmm. to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. In other words, regardless of what the offense is, we're still supposed to forgive.
All right.
And see, that person don't realize what they're heaping on their head when they bring that offense, but we still have to forgive them.
Amen.
I think
don't go there, sister. Don't go there, sister.
I think about the prodigal son.
Okay.
The prodigal son asked his father for that which belonged to him, which he wasn't due for an inheritance anyway, because the father was still living. But he went out and spent his stuff and come back to his father, poor, broke, and hungry, lost everything he had. But guess what? The father received him back in the state that he was in and restored him back to his proper spot. But you know what? Sometimes we like the brother that stayed at home. You ain't never gave me this. You ain't never gave me that. And all the time you had it available. Don't put me in timeout.
No, ma'am. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
He had everything available right there in the father's house.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the other boy had left, he had to go out and find himself. And the brother right there in the house was still alone. At least the brother that went out came back and asked his father to forgive him.
Hmm.
The one sitting in the house ain't asked him for nothing. Just complaining as to why you gave all of this to him. He didn't deserve this. You didn't throw me no party. You didn't do all this. You didn't have no service. And sometimes we just let that boy die.
Working, Minister Cook. You like telling the whole truth, because everybody thinks that story is about the boy that left home. No, it's,
no,
about,
it's about the one
that stayed
home.
Which was him.
That's what I
mean. Was talking to. Amen. We are. Everybody gets stuck on that there, but what God's trying to show the Pharisees, y'all think y'all all in a bag of chips, but y'all really ain't.
You dressed up looking all cute and still lost.
Cook, don't go in
time
out.
Okay, I'm
hush. Well, she's headed there. I'm telling you, she's headed there.
But she's telling the truth, though.
We know she telling the truth. We know it.
Put a button on my lip now.
I want Minister Cook to explain Colossians 3:12-14. 3:12-14, and I'm going to read it.
Okay.
It says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly love, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Okay, but it says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. The elect of God. You don't have no choice but to forgive them.
Break it down, sister.
You don't have no choice but to forgive them, regardless of what they said to you. Somebody can come up and spit on you, cuss you out. You still got to forgive that person. Elect of God, holy and beloved, bounds of mercies, kindness, humbleness in mind, of mind, meekness and long suffering. What is long suffering? You got to be patient with these people. You know what? When we look in our little bag, we were worse off than them.
Amen.
Somebody came to us and got us out of where we were. They had to be patient with us. When somebody first came to us and started witnessing, we didn't receive them. I was mumbling on my breath. I wish they'd get out of my face and gone somewhere. I ain't trying to hear that.
Amen. I
ain't trying to get in time out now, sure. But isn't it nice just to be humble when somebody come up and cuss you out? You can smile and just throw, it's like you're throwing water on the fire when you say, baby, it's all right. Oh, they want to really cuss then. I understand
where you're
coming from, but you know what? I used to be in the same shoes you was in. I didn't understand.
But, Mr. Cook, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Can I be mad, though?
You can be mad, but don't sin. Be angry, but sin not.
Don't put in time out, Sister Sugar.
Uh-oh.
Cook on fire tonight.
No, don't you be encouraging her. One moment. I want to acknowledge when Kristen speaks in the chat room. Welcome back, and we thank you for joining us again. We have Patriot Greg in the chat room, and thank you for joining us. We also have Minister Jordan on the line listening in. He's not speaking. He's working on some things, but he did take time out to, you know, join and listen in. So I do want to acknowledge everyone that's, you know, calling in, listening in, and let you know that we do appreciate you. Leave comments in the chat room. You can ask questions, you know, what have you. And again, we do appreciate you, and we love you. Minister Bobby. I'm gonna read another version of the same scripture, but it's gonna just be. It seems to me it's just written another way, and I want you to take this one. In humility, consider one. No, in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. And that's Philippians 2. 3-4.
Praise God.
You want me to read it again?
I'm just pulling
up scriptures and looking at them here and.
That was Philippians 2.
Yes, ma'am. 3-4.
Praise God. Well, I like what he says. Let nothing be done through strife and vain glory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people do things spitefully against people.
Mm-hmm.
That they may get a pat on the back, like they did something real good or something. And they've done it to be seen of men. But
okay.
In lowness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And I like to look at myself when I see that, because I always tell people I'm a nobody. I'm somebody Christ can use, but my flesh died. So I'm a nobody. And when it says lowness of mind, let each is saying others better than themselves. I can't bring somebody up if I'm up there, but if I'm down here, I can bring somebody up in Christ. So I look at myself and I tell people, I'm not nobody. That way, I'm no better than you. In other words, you may have did this little lie, and I told this big old lie, but it's still a lie. I may have stolen or hurt this person a little bit, and you did it a big bit, but it's still a hurt or a fear. So to me, I'm not no better than nobody else. And I thank God for that, because I don't want to be no better than nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stay low and meet me. And so when I say that, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Mm-hmm.
If I have it, I'm willing to give it. It's nothing that I have that I don't mind giving, because God said all that is vanity anyway. So I'm not caught up in things, but I am caught up in the souls of the people. And the only way I feel I can reach somebody through the Holy Spirit, it is that I become all things to all men, as Paul said, that I may reach them in Christ Jesus. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not one to elevate myself. I'm not one to say I'm better than anybody. I thank God that I'm able to say I'm lowly and meek, and I love to just stay down there, because vain glory and all that, it profits you nothing. And that's my intake on that.
All right.
Thank you for the Spirit.
Okay, now we're going to get into... Oh, my goodness. Okay. we got to get into this one. In accordance with God's rule on obeying the laws of the land, on one of our previous shows, we did talk about obeying the laws of the land that was brought up. So in accordance with God's rule for us obeying the laws of the land, is there ever a time when a believer should not, is it okay for them not to tell the truth? Is it ever okay for you not to, is it okay for you to lie if you are obeying the laws of the land? Or is there ever a time? I mean, that's just the question.
No. I'd like to say no, it's not. It's never a time to lie. And when we look at Colossians 3 and 9, it says, lie not one to another,
mm-hmm.
seeing that ye have put off the old man with his
mm-hmm.
deeds. Lie not one to another.
Okay.
I don't think it's fair for anybody to lie in any kind of shape, form, or fashion. Now, I heard a pastor say his mother lied to the police when they came to get his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it's a justified lie.
Okay.
But to me, if I trust in God, why would I have to lie? If I believe in the word of God and stand on the truth, which is God, why would I have to lie? And so that was my intake. I don't believe in lying. When I stand before the Father, I want to stand with my head up. I don't want to have my head hung down. So I'm just not with lying in any shape, form, or fashion.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Reverend Williams.
It is for us to obey the laws of the land. Because
mm-hmm.
the book of Romans tells us in chapter 13, let every soul be subject unto the high powers.
Mm-hmm.
For there is no power but of God.
Mm-hmm.
The powers that be are ordained of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just because a situation comes, it's not for me to go lying, trying to beat around the justice or the laws that we had.
Yeah.
If you know there was a red light, you ran through it, police pulled me over one time, you say, sir, you know what you did? I didn't try to play crazy, act a fool. I say, yes, sir. I turned on, mm-hmm. made a right turn from one lane out of the wrong lane. He said, okay. And so he said, ask me a question. Is there any reason why you think I shouldn't give you a ticket? I say, sir, you have every right in this world to give me a ticket if you wish to do so.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for us to lie, to feel, or try to get our way out of something. You know you did it. Own up to it.
All right.
It's hard.
Okay. Before we get to Minister Cook, and I'm going to let you finish, Reverend Williams, I'm going to throw something in there.
Okay.
Let's say the law of the land. Let's go to the prison system. We're going to
okay.
go there. The law of the land, well, God's law said, thou shalt not kill.
Mm.
The law of the land says, if you do a crime, we can sentence you to death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, God is the one that sits in judgment.
Mm-hmm.
On those that do wrong. But the
mm-hmm.
law of the land says, no, we're going to take care of this.
Amen.
Now, the people that work for the penal system that know that are Christians, that are believers in God's word,
uh-huh.
and they have to work at execution.
Uh-huh. I feel you.
Okay.
I know where you're going.
Should they follow the law of the land, or do they follow? That's what I'm saying. That is God's law to follow the law of the land. So their job, their assignment, is to do this job. But
okay.
God says, "Thou shalt not kill." So. Is that okay? Is it okay for them to, which one should they do at that point,
well,
Minister Cook?
Oh, I thought you were going
to ask. Let Reverend Williams say what he has to say.
Okay.
First off, thou shalt not kill is that I should not kill my neighbor upon myself. But now our system, our Congress, our lawmakers,
our government, said, okay.
Our government said in this state,
mm-hmm.
we have execution.
Okay.
That's the law
yeah.
of the land.
Right, that's what I just explained.
So
that's what I'm asking.
I just read, let every subject, let everyone be subject unto the authorities.
Okay.
That was set. Now, let me put it like this. If you're a Christian and you have a problem and you think it's wrong to put a person to execution, don't sign the application. But now me, if I go to work and they say pull that switch, I'm like this here, I love you. I'm praying for you, and I pray that God take your soul. But I'm pulling that switch.
Okay, now, Romans 13, 4 through, let's say, 6. The authorities are sent by God to help you, but if you are doing something wrong, of course you should be afraid, for you will be punished. The authorities are established by God for that very purpose, to punish those who do wrong.
Right.
So you must obey the government for two reasons, to keep them from being punished and keep a clear conscience. Now, a lot of people have issues with this, you know, because you know that I did. I worked for the penal system for a number of years. And it began to bother me that my position began to bother me because I felt like I was placed in a position of judging others.
Yeah.
And I began not to feel comfortable with that because, you know, you know, they tell you something when you go to work for the penal system. They tell you the difference between you and the person on the inside is that you never got caught.
Amen.
Right.
And you know, as you draw closer to God, you start to hear that. Well, I did. I started hearing that. And I would see people's children come in there, and I would see, you know, my belief is everybody that's in prison is not guilty. I know that,
right.
And I believe that. So
true.
How do I stand there and follow those laws and knowing this? How can I, in all good conscience, say that I'm living God's word and I'm standing there and I'm punishing somebody that could not have done anything to be punished?
Well, first off, number one, now, I'm kind of like a catch-22, but it's like, now, if you know this person is innocent, definitely.
We don't,
okay.
See, as a person,
but
as a person inside the penal, working there, you're not supposed to have access to their records. So you don't know, but you do know that there are things that you've done. If a person come in there and you had a life out in the street where you were always drinking, always doing this, going to the club, driving home, drunk, whatever, and you never got caught, and then you got a person in there that got caught 3 times, and so they're doing their 8 years. How can you stand in all good conscience, follow the laws of the land when you know that as Minister Bobby say, you're no better than that person?
Well, I know that I was out there in the world. I did everything the next person did. Now, the thing is, like you say, they got caught. But I did get caught. I got caught by God. But God turned my life around. Now, I'm not trying to throw judgment on them. If I'm working in the prison system and that's my job and I get up in the morning,
mm-hmm.
guess what? I'm going to do my job.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't got nothing to do with my past, my life, what I did in the past. And it ain't got nothing to do with that. If that person on death row, okay, if I walk in there and he's not on death row, but he's getting locked up and I got the keys in my hand, I'm turning the lock.
Okay, I understand that. That wasn't the issue, whether or not we should turn the lock. There are commandments. There are specific. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. How do you justify breaking a commandment? But at the same time, you're following the laws of the land because like you say, it's catch-22. That's what I'm saying. According to the scripture, we are supposed to follow the laws of the land. We are supposed to obey the government. We're supposed to do that. The scripture says so. But when do you in your walk, in your relationship with God say, okay, this is something that, because the people in government, and I'm going to put it this way, the people in government are man just like us.
Mm-hmm.
Every rule that they make is not of God. Okay, I want to put that out there. And every rule that they expect us, others to follow is not of God. Let's say someone that's going to get assistance with disability or with public assistance, right? Say a single mother trying to get assistance for help, like TANF, AFD, whatever, AFD, I don't think they call it AFDC no more, but TANF, food stamps, housing assistance, any of that, and they walk in this place, man set the rules that they have to go by in order to get assistance. But that person, if they go in there and tell the truth, Minister Bobby have no desire in her heart to tell a lie, and she walk in that place, and you can have all the faith in God you want to have. I've seen it happen. You have God, you have faith, and you can walk in there, and the stuff that they ask you is not going to be the stuff that you can say. I know somebody that's struggling with this right now, and they don't want to lie. They don't want to lie, and they are struggling. They're going without. They're doing without. They need this, and it's there. The government have it. It's there for the people, but because of the rules that the government makes, it overrides God's law. As far as us helping one another and all of that, it overrides all of that. So, do that person have the right to go in there and say, I don't know, because let's say this: I don't have a car. I don't have a car. They ask you all these questions. Do you have a car? Because if you tell them you have a car, they're going to tell you to sell the car, and then when you sold the car and come and don't have no more money, then come back. So do that person go in there and say, well, I don't have a car, so that they can get the help that they need? Because if they sell their car, they're not going to have a way to go get the help they need or go to the doctor or whatever they need. Where does abiding by God's law how do you do it? What do you do? According to the scripture, what do we do?
Off, you got to be honest with God, period. In all those scenarios, you have to understand you can't look at the next person. These ministers can help me. But over in the book of Psalms, there's one, a prayer. There was a by Asaph. Is it Asaph?
Asaph.
And Asaph said, as I've seen the wicked gain this, I see the wicked do this.
Mm-hmm.
Wicked was
mm-hmm.
like getting old.
Mm-hmm.
And Asaph felt like, I'm just beating my head against the bricks. I'm trying to be funny.
Okay.
But then
okay.
Asaph had to say, my foot almost slipped.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Because God was trying to tell him, you were too busy looking at the wicked.
Okay.
He already got the wicked in check.
Okay.
All the people that lie and do everything else, they already in check.
Okay.
I used to be one of them ones because I want to get more money on my income tax. I was using children that ain't even mine.
Okay.
Okay. I want to get more money. My son older than cremation. I was using him. He lived in my house.
All right.
And God had to let me know, you're wrong.
Okay.
You dead smoking wrong.
Okay. Now so, I want to hear from one of the ministers here.
Well, sister, there's no reason for anybody to have to lie for assistance. If you're lying, you're going to get caught up with it, and then you will have time.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Okay.
Did God say he would supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory?
All right.
By Christ Jesus. If you're lying to get assistance, when they come to find out exactly what's what and where you stay, you forgot what you put on the papers or what you're going to tell them.
Come on, help me somebody.
That's why she said that. Why? Go on.
You forgot what you put on the paper. Why not ask God to give you that thing which you're in need of? He won't even make it hard.
All right.
You think you're suffering, but sometimes stuff comes for us to be tested to see if we're going to lean and depend on God for what we need.
Amen.
But if you're going in that line, and see, I worked in the penal system. There were select people that did certain things in there for death row and for the people that were being executed. I was not a part of that. I was on a particular unit. A lot of those that were going to be executed came through our unit. But you know what? I couldn't pass judgment on them because I was there to give medical attention.
Okay.
I don't care what you come in here for.
Whatever you
I'm here to give you medical attention.
Okay.
You come to the medical department, you will get that.
That's right.
If you didn't come in here for anything, you can leave my medical department.
Okay.
But there's no reason for us to lie at all.
One minute. For those that are listening live, if you want to hear the remainder of the show, you're going to have to dial in because the live portion will end soon, and the number is 718-305-6798. Call in to hear the remainder of the show, 718-305-6798. Okay, go ahead, ladies.
And sister, why would we even want to lie when he said a liar would not tarry in his sight? Why would you want to be doomed to hell and talking about telling a lie just to cover for right now? There's some consequences that's going to come with that lie that you told.
That's right. That is so true.
You done put it off and think, oh, I got away with that. Oh, no.
Mm-mm.
When the script be read and that lie come across, how are you going to explain to God why you lied?
Amen.
And you can't cover that up.
Mm-mm.
No, you can't.
Somebody might have forgot that you lied to them, but God ain't forget. He going to write it down.
Amen.
And there's no excuse and no reason for anybody to lie, period. And if we're set up to be chosen by God, to be a servant of him, a light shining in a dark place, there's no excuse for us lying.
Ain't no excuse.
None. Zero.
Okay,
I'm gonna do this before, because I don't know if they're going to call in, but I do want to let them know what our next show is going to be about, so that they'll be ready to come back and be with us. We're going to next week, and I said I know that this group is going to want to do it this week, but I put it for next week. We're going to talk about restoring order to the church. It's going to be next week. Now, those topics are going to cover. Were churches of old out of order, or is it the church of today? That's one topic we're going to discuss. The other topic is, well, we have I guess almost four. Okay, the other one is going to be, does the new church order, now you got that, does the new church order make it easy to draw believers to God? Or does it just allow its members to make excuses for their lifestyles?
Say that one more time.
Okay. Does the new church order make it easy to draw believers to God or to draw people to God? Meaning that the way the church is designed now, you know, we have different churches now. We're not going to talk, you know, denomination, but different churches. Does those churches make it easy for people to come in and hear the word of God? Or does it just allow the members or the people to make excuses for their lifestyle? Okay, that all has to do with the order of the church. Now, the other one is, how if we're supposed to restore order to the church, how do we go about with restoring order to the church, and where should it begin? And is it man's job, or do we leave it to God's judgment? Now, that's
okay.
What we're going to talk about next week. That's we're going to restore order to the church.
Okay. How do we restore?
Do what now?
How do we restore order to the church and what now?
Okay. The main topic is restoring order to the church.
Right. The last one is
how do we restore order? And where should it begin? And is it man's job, or do we leave it to God's judgment? Okay. Is it for us to say what's wrong in the church and try to fix it, or do we leave it to God's judgment? Now, that's next week's topic. And at the end of that discussion, we're going to have like an open session. We're going to talk about things how many of you are as old as I am. And we're going to talk about the things that went on in the church when we were youth and what was allowed, what was not allowed, and how it's changed. We're not going to bash anybody. We're just going to talk about the changes. Does everybody understand that part of it?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I just want to make sure everybody understand that part of it. Because some of the things were real simple when we were growing up that went on in church. We're going to talk about those and what you couldn't do, you can do, you shouldn't do. And then we're going to talk about the difference in that now and then. So that's next week. And I really hope our listeners come back and join us for that. Now what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and we're going to wrap up on, we talked about God's time is not your time, or is it? We covered that. We talked about how do you know when your faith is unshakable, and how do you strengthen your faith? If we don't show favor to our brethren, can we expect God to show favor to us? And we talked about does humility, compassion, self-control, and love, does that have to do with our faith walk, or does it have to do with God's promise to us? Do we practice those things because of our faith walk, or do we practice them because we want to receive God's promise? In accordance with God's rule on obeying the law of the land, is there ever a time when we should, we cannot tell the truth, we can get away with lying? And that was directed mostly to the believers, because the non-believers are going to lie, you know, whatever. And I can't say that, because I know some that, I know some people that's not just, according to them, they're not walking the faith walk, according to them, because we can't call it as to whether or not somebody's walking. We don't know another person's relationship with God. We can tell if a person, we're supposed to make it known. The way we live should let another person know what we're living like. But, you know, there are some people that do everything according to the Bible, but never set foot inside of a church. We don't know their relationship with God. We don't know their personal relationship with God. So I can't say that. But I'm just saying, is it ever okay for anybody to lie to follow the laws of the land? So we got answers from that. Do anybody have? We're gonna have our 2 minute wind up here, beginning with Minister Bobby.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, just sum up what we talked about. Your last, your 2 minute wind up.
Yes, ma'am. I'm gonna share with Psalm 33, and I'm gonna start with verse 4. The word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth.
Mm-hmm.
You go to verse 8. He said, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him."
Mm-hmm.
Then over here to verse 34 and 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord hear it and deliver them out of all their troubles.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. And that's to that person who's going through something,
mm-hmm.
Happened to lie on their job and is battling that. Trust in the Lord. Let go and believe God. For he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Trust in the Lord. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to trust in God. I'm not
mm-hmm.
going to take a job where I have to lie, because the words say I can trust in God. I'm not going to lie to make myself, as you say, puffed up with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Just receive that vain glory from man. But I'm going to stand firm on the word of God. Amen.
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 Minister Cook.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Let's hear from you.
Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Verse
mm-hmm.
6 says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." That sums it up right there.
Okay.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Reverend Williams?
Amen. I just want to sum up by saying is that God has a set time for us all. And it's not for us to wonder when or how, but to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Now, what we began this with a prayer. Well, first of all, I do want to thank each of you for your contribution. This show wouldn't be anything without you guys. I want you to know that, and I love each of you for that. And we want it to grow, and we want to make sure we want to keep studying and make sure that what we're saying is what God says.
Yes.
And Minister Bobby, I want to say something to you. I really love you. When you don't have a scripture for something, I just love the way that you just let the Spirit talk to you and guide you into what you need to say, give you the words to say. I really love that about you, and I just wanted to say that.
God bless you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to end it with a prayer.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Minister Cook.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Would you lead us in prayer?
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this show, oh God. We thank you for the moderator. Lord, we even thank you for each participant, oh God, those that have spoke from their heart and spoke from your scripture, oh God, even the ones that are listening, oh God. Maybe an answer came to one that was confused about an issue, oh God. But make it clear to them, God, that they have to serve you in spirit and in truth, oh God. We bless each and every listener, oh God. Those that don't have a church home, oh God, search their hearts and send them to where they can get the word that they can grow on, oh God. Bless this moderator as never before, oh God. Every minister, yes. God, give us what we need to say, when we need to say it, and how we need to say it, that it will be so clear that even a child can understand what we've got to say, oh God. Not just trying to get on here and brag or boast, oh God, because we are lifted up in you as never before, God. This is a day and time when we need to magnify you as never before, oh God. This is a time where we need to search the scripture because in them we have life, oh God. We realize that we can't make it without you. We move and have our being because of you, oh God. You suffered and died on the cross of Calvary for us. You shed your blood for everyone that was born and created in your image and in your likeness, oh God. You bless us as we go from this place, but never from your presence. Help us to be prepared on next week that we may go deeper and deeper into your word, that you will send us knowledge straight out of heaven, oh God, that we might be able to draw some man, woman, boy, or girl to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and we seal it up in your blood right now. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good night, everyone. And, oh, my night. God, thank you, Minister Cook. Thank you.
You are blessed, and you are quite welcome, ma'am.
Amen.
All right.
God bless.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.